Good morning, by Schmidt Lampapa.
Good morning, Lena Sila. Ndawa yake khonjwa phepha.
Jomo Nyambi, Kumala Ngapuri.
Thank you, can I keep on asking? Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We introduce ourselves. My name is Thoko Kumlon, the Chairperson of the Fields Application.
Okay, I'm so Sarah Manyena, Deputy Chair of FPB.
Good morning, members. My name is Abu Mile Mashele. I'm the Acting Chief Operations Officer for the FPB.
Morning, members. My name is Lelan Matisa. I'm the Acting Chief Financial Officer of FPB.
Good morning, members. My name is Diana Oro. I'm an advisor to the DM of Mane Shantu.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lodi Sidis. I'm the committee secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. My name is Sandy Lenin. I'm the advisor to the minister.
You can cut the air, if you want to do it. You want to say what you mean? Can you introduce yourself?
Oh. Good morning, members and the department. My apologies for being late, I have to raise a permanent member of the committee from Gauteng.
Thank you. I received some apologies, one from the deputy minister and one from the minister. Thank you. I'm going to give over to the chairperson of the FPB.
Some introductory remarks and then the COO and the CFO will
there's a film and publication board in terms of the act. So we just wanted to clarify that we want to upfront say that we do not regulate broadcasters. So it's important for that information to be out there. Secondly, that in terms of the act again, print media, that is under the press ombudsman. It is also not regulated by us. That was a dispensation that had to happen when the amendment was being done. Thirdly, under the democratic dispensation, the Film and Publication Board does not have the mandate to censor. We do not censor, which is why our slogan says we inform and people choose. And we also would like members to be alert to the fact that the FT Act is already being amended and is before the portfolio committee on in Parliament on Communications, and we hope that the we have an opportunity as well to have an input into that process. We would like to just mention that we, as the Honourable Chairperson has already said, our mandate is very huge. Initially, it was not intended to be an outreach and education. It was just supposed to be people sitting at the office and classifying stuff. And the budget never follows the expanded mandate. And so we have a very small staff, a very small budget, but a huge mandate in terms of outreach and education. Our external revenue, in terms of the market out there in the industry, is shrinking, and therefore we're remodeling our revenue streams based on the new media industry that is under the jurisdiction of the Film and Publication Board. We also just want to put it on record that we work very well with the police, the NPA, on catching online child sexual exploitation material, which is called so-called child porn. We work with an organization called In Hope International to catch them, and we hope that just for information. We've been trying to engage with the Department of Basic Education. We do go to schools, but we'd like to still further engage with the Department of Basic Education, because the members will see that it is when we do our presentation that young people have access to smartphones. And with the access to smartphones comes a lot of responsibility from parents, from educators, and from learners themselves on how to make use of the smartphones. And so I will hand over to our esteemed COO to present our APP and to just share on our outreach and awareness program. Thank you very much.
The brief that we got from the committee was that we need to present on the
So where do we start, Chair? With the
thank you very much, Chair. I'm very sorry I couldn't be right. I'm Kathy Labestachny, a member of the committee representing the Western Cape.
But in terms of apologies by the Minister and the Deputy Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. Just for the purpose of us as the committee being consistent in terms of the Minister and the Deputy Minister present in the meeting, in other meetings we maybe get worried when the department doesn't get represented by the political heads of the department. So that I'm sure that is why Honorable Lambo is raising it. Because we don't hear from you out there. It's just that apology. We'll explain it as well what is happening. Because this meeting was known long before. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sorry. The reason is due to the minister's cabinet meeting. I think we need to look seriously to the policy. Because ever since the new administration came in, they never even come to meet us in previous days. It was the ministry was very well accepted in our community. At the time we were worried because the presentation over the department and the people was too many. But she made sure that everyone was present when she was there and she came with us. And then we taking note of the community. And I think we must communicate to the principal that we are feeling a bit uncomfortable because every time it's just a policy. Not saying I understand that it's commitment to the prior, but it means they can come because if other ministers can move, they can make effort to attend, even if it's just one whatever month or so. This was a serious, not a joke. We are not talking here to be a duplication of the portfolio committee. If the man was the chairperson, I hope that we will have him time. We are part and part of the work. We have study groups where we discuss this information and it's coming to us. And we are going to, through those things that we discuss and we do have a role. Otherwise, they must go. The NTOP, we cannot sit here if we are not playing a role, whatever role is playing. Thank you. Is there any other one you want to do? If not, can you proceed? Are we all in agreement? Honorable Paki, I see you have something in your heart.
Yeah, no, you know, you shouldn't sound like a broken record. You must be taken. Want to mandate you, Chairperson, to write a letter, a formal letter to the minister and the deputy minister. Because this is a committee of parliament. Parliament of the Republic of South Africa is constituted by two houses. We've got the portfolio committee, we've got the select committee. Our mandate is divergent mandate.
There's just one additional slide that I added that is not a completed slide. I hope to project, but I see that the projector is not working. But I will resubmit the presentation, but the input or the incorporated information is not that substantial. It was just some market analysis that we thought would be beneficial for the committee to have done. The presentation, I'm on page 2 now, is going to cover the FPD mandate, the FPD and its link to the National Development Plan, the FPD vision and mission as it is in our strategy, our 2016-17 outreach report, the assessment of our outreach report, as well as the 2017-18 annual performance plan.
We located the outreach report to 2016-17 because the brief from the committee was not specific in terms of how far back we go. So we thought if you limit it to the annual report that we have just completed as the STD, it would be substantial as opposed to going back a couple of years. Now, as the chairperson of the Freedom of Publication Board has already indicated, the STD has a unique role that it plays in the communications and media space. The mandate of the Freedom of Publication Board is to regulate the creation, production, possession, and distribution of all films, games, and certain publications, to provide consumer advice, protect children from disturbing and harmful content, and make use of children in pornographic material punishable by law. So the Freedom of Publication Board, in essence, is that entity when you go to the cinema, and there's something that is lighted that says this movie is not suitable for children below the ages of 13. And there are specific mechanisms that we have put in place as the Freedom of Publication Board to make sure that those decisions are credible and they are reflective of the South African values and laws. But in essence, that is the mandate of the STD. The STD contributes towards outcome 14 of the NDP, and the specific goals that we contribute towards in outcome 14 is encouraging constitutional values and achieving a societal impact compact laying the basis for equity, inclusion, and prosperity for all. The STD achieves these objectives through ensuring harmful content in the media is appropriately labeled and premature exposure to children and sensitive viewers is prevented. This it does through its regulatory function in the content distribution value chain. I just think it's important for me to unpack this statement. Research has been done that shows that exposure to children to certain harmful materials such as violence, explicit sexual content, and any other forms of harmful content impact on their behavior. So if we as society are important, are concerned about social cohesion and the development of communities that are proper, we need to make sure that the content that we expose our children to is appropriate for their ages. Because a younger child who watches a violent movie, for instance, can play out the movie because they don't necessarily, they are not necessarily able to decipher between reality and fantasy. So that is the important function that the Human Publication Board plays in society as well as in the media chain. Now, in terms of our strategy, we have a strategy that was approved in 17-18 that is valid up until 2020-21. And the vision in the strategy is to be a leading and credible content regulator that empowers the public to make informed viewing and gaming choices. The mission is to ensure the regulation of media entertainment content by empowering the public, contributing to child protection, and promoting the growth of industries. Now, the priorities that we have identified to make sure that we attain the vision and the mission is to make sure that we are a technology-driven content regulator. One of the things that we've realized since the STD was formulated in 1996 to now, technology has changed a lot. So now movies and phones and games are not only accessible via DVD shops or going to the cinema. Now you have to yourself, or you yourself are a movie creator, a content creator. Films, we have online stores that are emerging. So our technology also has to match up to industry's development. So we are trying by all means to improve our technology as a human participation board. The second priority is public education to empower adults and protect children. One of the things that we have seen is that classification as we have been doing it before will no longer be as important as it was prior. Consumers themselves need to be aware and they need to know what choices they need to make for the children in their care and for themselves as well. Legislative review, research, compliance monitoring, and monitoring and evaluation. The legislative review is part of what the chairperson had made reference to earlier, in that our legislation has had to be amended to catch up basically with the changes in technology and the changes in industry. And I think the select committee will be dealing a lot with that when the bill comes to before you. And then the last thing is resource mobilization and develop appropriate funding models. In essence, as the STD, we are a regulator. And currently, the state is funding about 98% of regulation through the funding that it provides to the Freedom of Publication Board.
and knowing the resource constraints we have in the country, we currently try to look at how can we improve funding for the human population board. Now, in terms of the outreach report, this is slide 8, I'm on page 8 now. In the slide, I just highlighted the purpose, why do we do outreach and awareness campaigns, the target audience, who do we target, and how do we assess the campaigns that we do. The purpose of our outreach and campaigns is to fulfill strategic outcome 2 of our strategy, which is to ensure that consumers, general members of the public, and the industry are informed about the mandate of the Human Participation Board. It's also the purpose is to ensure that learners' parents are informed on the mandate and the responsible use of media. So we also do public education in terms of what are the safety tips that parents need to be aware of and the impact of premature exposure to certain content has on children. We also cover cyber safety education because we know that every parent in this room, I can be sure, has bought a tablet for their child or a smartphone for their child. But most of the time, they don't know how to protect their children on those smartphones. So we give cyber safety education where we empower consumers on how to use those appropriately. We also train law enforcement officers on the provisions of the Human Publications Act and its enforcement. The FPB mandate has a law enforcement component to it in that if you are not registered as a distributor of, as in line with the Human Publications Act, you can be prosecuted. Secondly, if you are found to be distributing child pornography or illegal content in the form of child pornography, you can be prosecuted as well. So we train law enforcement so that they can understand the provisions of our act and prosecute accordingly. The target audience for our outreach and awareness workshops that we do are learners, parents, educators, industry, and distributors, and also the law enforcement. How we assess the effectiveness of our outreach workshop, we conduct surveys with a sample of the participants in all the different workshops that we do, particularly with learners and educators. We also do focus group engagements with learners, parents, and educators, so that we can get a more qualitative assessment of the impact of our education and awareness campaigns. And lastly, we do conversion surveys, which are household surveys that we do, where we assess the long-term impact assessment of the work that we do at the Human Publication Board. And I must just say that the last one is quite an extensive exercise to undertake at the FPB. And for the first time in the last financial year, we commissioned a survey that covered a sample of 9,000 households in all 9 provinces, which was the first time we covered the whole of South Africa as opposed to a particular province. One of the things that I think is important to highlight is that when we do our outreach and awareness workshops, we do organize our own as the Human Publication Board, but because of resource constraints, most of the time we also work a lot with partners. So if a particular institution or industry body is having a workshop in a particular locality, what we then do as the FPB, we request to join them in that locality so that we can have the platform and engage with ordinary South Africans on the ground. So the numbers that we are reporting on are not necessarily just platforms that have been created by FPB, but it's also platforms that have been created in partnerships with industry and also ordinary members of the public. Now on page 9, I just provided a high level report of the number of people that we reached in the 2016-17 financial year. For the purposes of this committee, because it's the NCOP, I can submit a detailed list in terms of where exactly we went, where the numbers were, where we reached the parents, the educators, and then the learners. But I can say that there is quite a fair reach in terms of all 9 provinces in the country. In terms of parents that we engaged with, we reached 1,748 parents that we reached through the schools and other available platforms.
content that they consume is from the homes. So we want to engage with the parents as well. So whenever we go to schools, we try and have a separate session with parents. In the year, we reached 1,748 parents. Educators as well, we spend time engaging with educators so that they can impart some of the lessons that we give to learners as part of their life orientation teachings that they do. And in the year, we reached 885 educators in 98 schools. We also have a life orientation teachers manual that we use with the educators so that they have something that they can refer to with additional learners that come through their different classes. We also reached 24,121 learners in 98 schools. We had law enforcement workshops, like I already said. We had 9 workshops in the different provinces where we provide law enforcement training to law enforcement officers. I just need to say that in our law enforcement trainings, we don't need the training if we have less than 25 law enforcement officers in the training. So all those 9 workshops that we had, it was 25 and above when we trained members of the law enforcement. We also have distributor workshops. These are basically our engagements that we have with the distributors that are registered with the Freedom of Publication Board. We have them to educate them about changes in the regulatory landscape or any other matter that we may want to engage them with. And then we also have in-cinema consumer engagement. This usually is due when there is a big blockbuster that is being launched in a cinema and consumers are likely to complain about the age rating or something to that effect. So we also go to cinemas to educate members of the public about the language of the Freedom of Publication Board. We just have some pictures of the targeted audiences and some of the learners that we've reached. On page 11 of the slides, the assessment methodology that we use to test the effectiveness of our outreach. We have a program that is currently in its second year where we are running focus groups in specific schools in Gauteng, in Northwest, and in KwaZulu-Natal, where basically what we want to do is we want to test the effectiveness of our education program in the long term. The reason why we decided to do these focus groups is because we've been lobbying the Department of Education for the longest time to incorporate cyber safety education, comprehensive cyber safety education, in the life orientation manual in schools. So we thought it would be easier for us to sell this concept to the Department of Education if we have research and we have tested it over a period of time whether when we engage and we impart these lessons on learners, it leads to ultimate change in behavior. So that is why we started a focus, these focus groups, and in 2017-18 is the second year. We also have outreach assessment surveys that we do in the schools that we visit, where we assess the effectiveness of the workshops and also test the awareness levels on the FTD classification rating with the learners. And lastly, is the conversion surveys, which I spoke to earlier. In terms of the results, we just chose the high-level slides in terms of the conversion surveys. I think we can send the detailed results to the committee should the committee wish to interact with the data and our sampling and all of that stuff. The slide on page 13 is basically talking to perceptions that the ordinary South Africans that we research have on the work of the Freedom of Publication Board. And everywhere I go, I always get this question where people say, there's such a high level of awareness in terms of your research results on the work of the Freedom of Publication Board, but we don't know who you are. But I always say that most South Africans have interacted with the emblem of the FPB. If you show people that triangle with the age rating of the Freedom of Publication Board and you say, do you know this institution? Most people will say, yes, they do know about the institution. But whether they do what that is contained in the emblem is a completely different question. So most of the time when you ask, do you know about the FPB, the answer would be yes. And do you understand the mandate of the FPB, then the answer would be different. that is why it's even here when we're talking about the perceptions of the SPD, the numbers are quite high. The first issue is that the classification information of the SPD covers all harmful content that can be there in the form and media space. 81% of the respondents agree. 81% of the respondents also agree that the classification of information provided by the SPD is understood by adults. 80% agree that the classification information provided by the SPD is sufficient to inform the public. 79% agree that the classification information provided by the SPD should be better communicated and marketed to the public. So that's basically saying we need to improve our marketing and communication with ordinary South Africans. And 70% agree that the classification information provided by the SPD is understood by children. So that means we need to improve how we communicate with children as well. And then the next slide on page 14 basically assess the awareness and the usefulness of the different classification decisions or classifiable elements that we have at the SPD. So at the bottom of the ledger is the different classifiable elements that we have. For instance, H stands for aura. IAC stands for imitable act. B stands for violence. S stands for sex. L stands for language. N stands for unity. And D stands for sexual violence. So basically, we are assessing whether members of the public are aware of these different classifiable elements and do they deem them to be useful or not. You will see that the levels of awareness are high, but the usefulness thereof is slightly lower. That can indicate that consumers are not necessarily following or adhering to the classification decisions of the criminal classification process. Now, in our outreach and awareness workshop that we did in Northwest KZN and the Eastern Cape, I'm on page 16 now. We basically asked whether learners had any prior knowledge on the work of the Criminal Publication Board, and you will see that KZN had a higher number of learners who had prior knowledge, but over and above, most of the learners that we interacted with, more than 50 of them, 50% actually had prior knowledge of the Criminal Publication Board. The educators, it's slightly less than the children, and that could be attributed to the fact that children or the youth are the biggest consumers of media content as opposed to adults and educators. The adherence to the rating is something else, particularly in KZN, where most of the children that we surveyed found adherence as not an important thing. So that means a child will see that a movie is rated 16 and they are sitting and they say, I want to watch it anyway, I'm going to watch. And most of the time there's no parent who's there to say, but you shouldn't be watching that because it's not appropriate for your age. Now, in terms of the high level findings that we have made in the different engagements that we have had across the country, is that learners are aware of age ratings and their meaning. However, there is limited or no adherence to them. And in our classification guidelines review process, one of the questions we are asking ourselves is the high levels of violence that we are currently experiencing in the country, is it not linked somewhat to the media consumption content that we have as well? Because most of the content that is classified by the FPD contains mild to high levels of violence. So that for us is a big area of concern. Parents do not supervise children's media consumption patterns. Virtually all learners in school visited own or have access to a smartphone. Social media take up most of their online activities. So they may say that they want the phone to do homework, but most of the time they are on Instagram, Snapchat, or Facebook, as opposed to doing research for schoolwork. Schools do not have uniform digital policies guiding educators and directing use of digital tools in the classroom. So you will hear that a lot of the departments, education departments, want to go digital. They want to integrate the cell phone into the classroom. But most of the time, educators on the ground that you interact with are complaining that these cell phones in the classroom are not being used appropriately. us confiscating the phone or just saying it's not allowed at all in the country. So one of the things we've been lobbying for is that the Department of Education needs to come up with a national policy on how to integrate digital tools in the classroom so that it guides educators as well. And then the last thing is that the lack of a single classification system confuses consumers as they are unable to distinguish between FTV rating and broadcaster rating. And I think this is linked primarily to what the chairperson had said earlier on, that we as the FTV are not responsible for broadcaster rating. So if you see something on television on Zanzimedic or on ABC and it says this movie is rated 16, it has not come through the FTV. They've done their own rating system, their own rating, but as the Bureau of Classification Board, we have classification guidelines that we use that inform our classification decisions. And what we have been lobbying for the last couple of years is that these classification guidelines need to be adopted across the board by all media houses so that we have uniformity in approach. When we talk about a 13, a 13 that is in cinema is the same as a 13 that is on television. And we also need mass communication platforms to educate consumers on content classification, because going to schools is not as impactful as having a high-profile media campaign on your public broadcaster or any of the broadcasters educating consumers about the importance of classification decisions. On slide 19, we just have a high-level actual spend that we use for branding and marketing as part of the FTV budget. In the 16-17 financial year, we spent 4,461,000 on branding and marketing. And this also includes our outreach and awareness campaign, as well as any other digital campaigns or any marketing campaigns that we do as an organization. And that's the report on our outreach and awareness work that we do as the Bureau of Education Board. Just going through the our APP, I'm not going to go through it in great detail. I'm just going to highlight what are the strategic outcomes and the targets that we have for the financial year. Like I had already indicated, our vision and our mission as the Film and Publication Board. Our council sat and they deliberated in terms of how will we achieve this vision and mission as the Film and Publication Board. And linked to our priorities, they came up with 5 strategic outcomes. The first strategic outcome is talking to the regulatory mandate of the FTV, so the core functions of the Film and Publication Board. SO2 is talking to public education and awareness. SO3 is talking to capacity and capability of the institution. SO4 is talking to online or ICT infrastructure and development of that infrastructure. And SO5 is talking to stakeholder engagement. Because as the Film and Publication Board, we realize that there's no way we can achieve our mandate if we do not have a concerted effort to have stakeholders that buy into our objectives and they work with us as an organization. In terms of strategic outcome one, the strategic objective as outlined in slide table 2 is to implement a content regulation framework that ensures 100% classification and labeling of classifiable material submitted, implementing relevant initiatives geared towards ensuring at least 75% industry compliance, including extending compliance monitoring initiatives throughout the film and publication, film publication and games value chain. That FPG stands for Film Publications and Games. And lastly, effective and efficient management of FPG operations. In slide 24, we have high-level the annual targets that we will be doing to make sure that we achieve those objectives. The first one is talking to 100% classification of all legible submissions, conducting a trend analysis, reviewing our governance framework that we use to govern the classification process, classification workshops, a classification workshop. We have classifiers who are the people who actually sit and review the movies, who are independent contractors, not fully employed by the Film and Publication Board. So we have workshops with them every quarter just to train them continuously objective as an institution, and our decisions can stand any test that may come before it. We are also working on a listening strategy. I think one of the logos that is pirated the most is the Film and Publications logo. So we are trying to look at how we can safeguard our logo. If you go to Grand Parade, for instance, and you look at some of the informal traders who are trading in DVDs, you will find that those are pirated DVDs, but they use the logo of the Film and Publications board to just give legitimacy to their product. So a consumer will think that this is a legit product and they will buy it. So we are trying to see how we can safeguard our logo by developing a labeling strategy that can be used by industry. Another major project that we are working on, which is with Slide 25, is the review of the classification guidelines. The classification guidelines, in essence, is what the Act prescribes that we need to develop to guide us in terms of how we reach our classification decisions. This year, we are reviewing the classification guidelines. We review them every 5 years, and it's a public policy process that we take when we review classification guidelines. And we hope through the engagement with the select committee, we can have access to your constituency so that they can make input into the classification guidelines. Because the classification guidelines are specific that they must be in line with societal values and norms. So it's not our guidelines, it's South African guidelines. So we have commenced the process of reviewing the classification guidelines. We also do the focus groups that I made reference to. We are also reviewing our tariff structure as the Film and Publication Board. We will be publishing a draft tariff in this month for industry to make input. We had to review our tariff structure primarily because technology has changed, industry has changed. There are now online players, so you can't have the same tariff structure that you had for the DVD market and have it for your online stores as well. So that was why we had to review our tariff. We have also the Film and Publications Amendment Bill, which I made reference to, which is currently with the Portfolio Committee of Communications, and we hope it will come to the Select Committee as soon as they have finalized. We also have our annual our compliance monitoring activities on Slide 26. We have compliance monitors who are located in the Western Cape, in KZN, as well as in Gauteng, but they have a responsibility to reach the whole of South Africa, where they do inspections on our registered distributors. They identify any unregistered distributor that is operating in the market, and they assist them to comply with the provisions of the Film and Publications Act. They also work with law enforcement to conduct raids, particularly where there is illegal trading of the films and the gaming market. In Slide 26, we've basically covered their targets for the year. And we also have our internal targets that are talking to our turnaround times, just to make sure that we are efficient in how we service industry, assess the work of industry, where we conduct surveys with industry to just check if the quality of service is still up to standard. And just others that are just talking to our turnaround times and quality assurance in Slide 27. If I go to Slide 28, Strategic Outcome 2, the main objective of Strategic Outcome 2 is to meet social cohesion imperatives by informing consumers, society, and industry. And I think this is the target that I was talking to largely in the reporting of our outreach and awareness campaigns. These are the targets that we have been working on in the current financial year. We have a media relations target where we target the number of broadcast interviews that we need to do, and also the number of publications or articles that we have to release as the FTB. The second one is talking to a digital literacy campaign. This is a campaign that we mostly do online, because it's targeted at people who make use of online activities. But we also do outreach and awareness campaigns where we go to communities where there is a need for digital literacy and digital education. For instance, in Total One, we went to Port Elizabeth, where there was an outdraw of a case there where we had a young child who had, with her friend, had taken a video of herself, an explicit video of herself, and it trended on social media instantly. And it created such an uproar as the Criminal Publication Board. We went to that area, we met with the schools, we engaged with learners, with educators, just to educate them that sometimes what you think you are sharing with your friend is not between the two of you. It's so easy for it to be spread to other people. We also roll out cyber safety and child protection initiatives in 6 provinces, and roll out cyber safety and child protection initiatives in 6 provinces. That's an education. On page 30, the target is the engagement of SCB's digital and social media platform. We have a target that is basically talking to increasing our digital and social media activities as the FPB. Like most entities or like most companies these days, we have presence in the social media space. We have FPB accounts, Facebook accounts, sorry. We have a Facebook account, a Twitter account, an Instagram account, and that's where we engage a lot with young people as well. And then the last two are just talking to internal communications that we have as the Criminal Publication Board. Strategic Outcome 3, I'm not going to go through all the targets that we have in Strategic Outcome 3. The objective is to develop and maintain organizational capacity, implement cost-saving measures as per approved, to promote strategic black economic empowerment as the government's initiative, and the creation of a secure and enabling work environment. Adherence to the PFMA and other related legislation, ensure effective and efficient administration of the FPB and ensure compliance with applicable legislation, and to ensure effective and efficient administration of the FPB to ensure compliance with applicable legislation. In essence, in this strategic outcome, it's talking to target on our HR, how we can make sure that we have a conducive human resources environment in the organization. It's talking to our finance, how we make sure we maintain the controls and comply with the PFMA, as I've already indicated, how we test our controls through our internal audit, and how we plan. So it has all those administrative functions in the organization. I'm not going to go through it in detail. I've moved to slide 36, which is strategic outcome 4. The objective is to the development and implementation of a content regulation framework that ensures 100% classification and labeling of classifiable content distributed on online, mobile, and related platforms. Basically, this outcome is asking us as the FPB to say, how do we make sure that, how do we deal with the online space? How do we regulate the online space? Or how do we develop the tools that would enable us to regulate that online space effectively. The first target is to implement all 4 phases of the OCR system. OCR is an online content regulation system that we have started working on at the Criminal Publication Board. What we foresee with the online content regulation system is that distributors will not have to submit physical DVDs to the Criminal Publication Board moving forward. We're hoping by the end of this financial year, online distributors who do not have the capacity to do their own classification will submit links to the Criminal Publication Board online, where the Criminal Publication Board can then review the material using the OCR. Currently, the process that we have is that you have to deliver a DVD to one of our offices, or you send a link to our, or you bring us a flash disk or something to that effect where we can classify your movie. So moving forward, we don't even want you to come to the Criminal Publication Board as a distributor. You submit your material online. We've already moved somewhat in that distributors now don't need to come to FPB for them to register and do their renewals. You can register online in your offices, and we process it as the Criminal Publication Board. So we are moving in that direction. we are moving to a space where we may not even have physical people who view material moving forward. In the next 5 or 6 years, technology is moving in such a way that you can have algorithms that would assist you to classify material, because remember, the movies that are distributed online have digital codes. So you can have digital codes that can be able to assess whether this material has violent content or if it has sexual content, etc., etc. So that is where we are moving towards. And the OCR system has various modules that we have built in that will be gradually increasing as the years go by. The next one is talking to systems availability, ensuring 98% of systems availability. The third one is to provide an analysis on sexual abuse material cases. This target is talking to the work that we do with the South African Police Services. The South African Police Services, when they have a case, when they open a case and they pick up that there is potential child abuse material or child pornography that they would like to prosecute, whoever they would like to prosecute, they come to the Freedom of Publication Board for us to do the content analysis. Staff themselves, they do not have the capacity to do that content analysis and confirm whether there is child pornography or not in the material. We are the only institution that does that in the country. So they provide that material, so we provide that analysis. So we report on it on a quarterly basis in terms of the number of cases and also in terms of the analysis provided, and where there has been successful prosecution, we also provide those numbers. The last one is also InHope Action Plan. InHope is an international association of hotlines that is within the European Union. As the Freedom of Publication Board, we are the only African country that is affiliated to InHope. The benefit of InHope is basically that if we pick up a child pornography material online, we can request one of the InHope member countries. If it's not posted in South Africa, we request an InHope member country affiliated to InHope to make use of their own law enforcement processes to make sure that that material is taken down. You'll understand that the online and the digital space operates completely differently. The material can be accessed in South Africa, but it's not hosted in South Africa. As South Africa, we have no jurisdiction over that material. So basically, the InHope Association assists us in being able to have those international collaborations and fight the scourge of child pornography by making sure that material is removed online quickly. And then the last strategic outcome is talking to partnerships. And the strategic objective is to form and maintain national and international partners which identify key stakeholders, other regulators, industry players, and law enforcement agencies for improved regulation. I'm sure honorable members will realize that the mandate of FCP is so big that there's no way we'll be able to achieve it if we try and do it by ourselves. So in this target, we are targeting specific stakeholders that we would like to work with as the FCP to assist to leverage on the partnership for us to be able to meet our mandate. So we have a stakeholder relations plan, and we implement it where we map out the different types of stakeholders that we would like to engage with and the type of partnerships that we would like to do with them. And basically, those stakeholders include industry players, they include law enforcement, they include NGOs, they include state entities, they include private business. So we have all sorts of stakeholders that we work with depending on what it is that we seek to achieve as the Freedom of Publication Board. We also have a target to participate in at least 3 film or gaming festivals. There are at least 3 or 4 major film and gaming festivals that are hosted in the country. We participate in them as the Freedom of Publication Board, and the main objective in participating in these film and gaming festivals is to educate filmmakers and gamers on the role and responsibility that they have in the material that they distribute. So we educate them about the mandate of the Freedom of Publication Board, and we get them to understand why it's important for them to register with the FCP and submit their material for classification. And then the last one is to have at least two stakeholders engaged in the continent. We, as the Film and Publication Board, we have a strategic engagement strategy. We are trying to move towards having a regional protocol on content regulation. We have realized is that content distribution has no borders anymore. I think 2 or 3 years ago, we used to say it will not have borders. But what we are saying now is that it has no borders. Content distribution happens online, so we need to have a uniform approach and started firstly and moving forward as Africa as a continent, where we can approach these major players and say that this is what we would not like to see in our space or the type of relationship we would like to build. The other day I was updating my Twitter app. I don't know how many honorable members have Twitter. I was updating my Twitter app, and as I was logging on, Twitter was saying that we have updated our rules. I don't know how many of you know that Twitter has rules. And it was saying that if you are from the US market, these are the updated rules. If you are from Europe, these are the updated rules. And what I would like us to move towards is saying, if you are from Africa, these are the updated rules. But we cannot get there if we are not having those conversations as a continent. So as the Film and Publication Board, we started engaging key players in the SADC region, and we are hoping that we will move to having an African approach to content regulation. And also the SADC engagement assists us in that most of the times when we have engaged with other players in the continent, we've realized that most of the time South Africa is an entry point for most major blockbuster movies that are coming into the African market. So what they do is, if a movie comes in and it's been classified by the Film and Publication Board, they just take the decision of the Film and Publication Board and they use it in their meeting. So we want to start having those engagements regionally so that we can also have those voices of our partners in the region in how we classify our how we reach our classification decisions as the Film and Publication Board. In slide 40 is the budget. I'm going to hand over to our acting CFO. I think he's more qualified to talk about it. It's just the high-level budget that we have to fund the different strategic outcomes that we have at the FTP. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Greetings once again to the members. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be taking you through to the APC budget. Maybe just to... It's the last one. Yeah, maybe let me indicate that we have a very small budget with a bigger mandate. Our budget is 99.5 million. Mm-hmm. As you know that in terms of GRAP, we are required to have a balanced budget. Our budget is balanced with the revenue that we get. The revenue that we get is 99.5 million, of which 92% is coming from the operating grant that we get from the Department of Communication, and 8% is coming from our own revenue through the regulation fees. Maybe just to give you a little bit of breakdown in terms of all the strategic objectives that we have, from strategic objective 1 to 5. On strategic objective 1, which is industry compliance, our budget is 10,884,785, which is about 11% of the total budget. And what we have allocated to the resources on that is 5.9 million, which is dedicated for the classification to ensure that we classify all the material that we receive as per our mandate. And then about 1.1 million is allocated for guideline review that the ACO was talking about, that we are embarking the campaign to do the guideline review. And then 1.1 million is allocated to the amendment bill. As you know, that we've got an amendment bill that is yet to be approved. So there's a lot of resources that we have allocated to that so that we ensure that at the end of the day it's passed. And then we've got 1 million that is allocated to online inspection. We also have to ensure that the content that are distributed online are also
then in terms of SO2, which is about the public education and awareness, you can see that we've got a small budget of about 5% of the overall budget, and this is due to the limited funds that we have as an organization. We've got 2.4 million that is dedicated to the outreach awareness, which is, you know, your digital literacy, your national base, your individuals, as well as the info hub. And then we've got 700,000 that is allocated to your media relations and workshops. And we've got 1.1 million that is allocated to traveling to all the outreaches, nationally making sure that we go to all provinces to ensure that, you know, there is public education and awareness about the work that OPD does in terms of our mandate. And then moving to SO3, which is your effective and efficient operations of the FPD, you can see that it has a bigger budget of about 71%, which is 70,870,609. And that is basically because 70 million is allocated to staff, which is your staff development and salaries. And then if you look in terms of the research, about 50% ratio must be allocated to the staff, whichever you're running a service delivery organization. So we are within the ratio of 50 to 55%, because we are sitting on 51% that we are actually rewarding our staff on. And we also have 11 million that is allocated to the accommodation, which is the offices that we have, as well as all the operating costs, like your electricity, sanity, and all those kind of things. And then we have 2.2 million that is allocated to governance and salaries for the board members and everything that has to do with the governance organs. And we've got 3.6 million that is more of your admin expenses, you know, your AED, your stationery, your telephone, your workshops, and all the administrative costs that we incur as an organization. And then we've got SO4, which is more of your ICT, as we want to be an organization that is more savvy in terms of IT, as you know that, you know, the industry is moving to your online space. So we want to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of resources that are allocated into our ICT to ensure that we are capable of making sure that we match whatever that the industry is moving on. And 2.6 million on that is allocated to online content regulation system that we have developed to make sure that the industry can submit their material online and do all the activities online without physically coming to our offices. And we've got 7 million that is allocated to system availability to make sure that all the time our system is available to support the industry and also to support, you know, the internal staff in terms of whatever activities that we will be doing to support our mandate. And then we also have 1.1 million that is allocated to InHope for us to travel internationally to make sure that we are on par in terms of technology, you know, with the international, you know, players. And we have the strategic objective 5, which is the last one, that talks about the strategic partnership. We have allocated 2,842,234, which is the smallest, which is about 2% of our overall budget. And 782 of that is engagement with the research institutions to make sure that we are researching what is happening in the market so that we up our game to make sure that we are not only reactive but proactive in terms of what we do as FPD. And we have 400,000 that is allocated to engagement, you know, in creating relationship with the SAT exchanges to ensure that whatever that we do is in line with other, with what other countries are doing. We are not far behind in terms of the mandate that we have as FPD. And the last amount is 700.
appreciate the opportunity and welcome the presentation. Look, I have a few questions that I've noted here that I'm going to limit them so that I give other members an opportunity to pose their questions. When, I mean, few weeks ago, we met SABC, and the chairperson and the chairperson. SABC said to us, the content distribution is one expensive element in their budget that devours their resources. I want you to link what you are doing on content distribution and what SABC, just you are educating us, eh? We are not in the space. And the second issue, how do you deal and fulfill the issue of prosperity for all? I saw it somewhere there in your second or third page in your presentation. How do you quantify, that's a third element or question, quantify the engagement, 400,000 that you say you put it aside for stakeholder engagement, how do you quantify that, the effectiveness and the outcome or the results? Look, the issue of cultural values versus the values that are enshrined in the Constitution, can you give us that? But I want you to tell us that or about what you mean when you talk of responsive use of media. You just said that in passing, maybe you were elaborating on a particular point. Lastly, I have a concern. Films that are produced in South Africa, there's a lot of violence. I will keep on raising this to any good news from the podcasting or whatever that is with filming and whatever that is accessible, easily accessible to our kids. I can give a tactical example of your 161 number. I'm not sure whether you have a hand or if there's on that space. I know it might not help. But what is important then and critical is such feelings are accessible to our kids. My womb's 11 years. Every Sunday I tell him, no, you can't do this, Papa, this is too violent. He says, no, but I can't do this. I know you just, but the feeling, but it is young. That fertile mind, fertile brain, must not be exposed to such things.
Thank you. Thank
you. Let me also welcome the presentation. We have said we are doing a good job. And I'm a little worried about the malaria that you see that you are at. I just want to know just a second as to how long the plague is acting and how long are you looking at fully employed permanently. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me also appreciate the presentation. Playing a very, very critical role too. But I think we are overtaken by science and technology. And we are equally lagging behind. If we get, make some comparison between the developed and the developing countries. But one should appreciate that the initiative that you want to see South Africa champion SADC and also ensuring that as a continent we are under pressure compared to some other developed countries. But my question would come. The consumption of the content will be put in the screen, perhaps, and you get the TV.
the content that will be appearing on the screen is not suitable for the people under the age of a particular age. Is that information not bringing some inquisitive to those that are not supposed to say that which they say I shouldn't be looking at? It is arousing the interest. How best can it be, can the content, the viewers, or those the consumer, be made aware without encouraging them to, I hope you understand. And the second one is that one of the piracy. And maybe that you are also working collaborations with other stakeholders, including the police, intelligence. Do you have cases where you can say, working in collaboration with other stakeholders, we have so many that we've apprehended to counteract this continuous piracy? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also follow up and take appreciate the eloquently presented report by both. My chair is on the issue of the outreach program, which could be taking place in the community. I know you didn't give us a detail as prepared of the program. Regarding mental health, because I want to know, are you making an effort to get to the mountains? Sometimes rural areas are at a disadvantage due to distances and infrastructure that are not reaching those that are doing the program. And again, Chair, on the issue of film producing, I'm taking from where Honorable Patrick left off on the issue of their content. You know, we have a responsibility as parents to monitor how our kids are watching the TV. In terms of, you can say when you are not at home, we have blocked whatever. But there are two advantages for us. But now I'm worried about time. When you show those films that are violent, all of those that expose them to sexual activity, I am just checking from you if it's not possible, maybe, with the SABC and others, to make sure that those feelings that really can affect our young ones can be played later. I'm not part of you. I'm asking this question as a lay person, understanding in that context. I'm doing this because also, you know, our lungs is where we watch this. It's where we're born in the family. It's like previously our rendezvous, where we used to sit with our grandmothers and so on, basketball saying home, we interpret for others, you know. Now this thing of having these violent, these sexual programs, they limit our time with our kids. Because you see, you know, most are all over the show. So when you are at home, that's where you want. So I wish when you debate this thing, you are also able to locate this part of us as families need to sit together and watch our babies. And now you watch it all of a sudden, no. My grandchild will say, Kuru, I'm closing my eyes. And why say close them? You know? So such things. Those are the two checks.
Thank you. Your awareness campaigns, are they done in on an NHS? And in line with what all of the mentors say, you know, you have TVs in villages now. Would you say that your awareness campaigns reach those villages? And then I must echo what my colleague is saying here. We are not a developed nation. We want to be a developed nation. Now, if you don't control the films that are played on your TV, if you don't control it, and all of the meters say these kids are more advanced than ourselves. So what you bring on that screen there, sometimes the parents are passive. You know, I woke up the other day, I will have 12 weeks to hear the noise in the house.
And sometimes I don't.
You know, see that I'm not sure these sexual films. It happens in all the houses. So we then need to have the control that you must control what comes on that screen. Whether you have to pay for what comes on that screen, because we are destroying these kids. That's why you see these kids sometimes killing each other. It's what happens on that. And you cannot say that, you must control on your remote. It does not work. It will never work. We are not developed. We aspire to be developed. We are going that route. So don't treat us as if we are developed world and put things there that the kids are not supposed to be seen. We have a lot of violence because the films you have, they are very violent. Very violent. They even teach how to kill somebody. So what other measures can you put in place except the current measures that it is that we have don't work at all? What other measures can you put in place to assist our kids? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that you will keep us working the whole day.
Yeah.
I was just saying that little one, even two, we don't want it from this place. We want looking at this one. We close it, we want this one. And we want it. Do all kinds of things in this world. I think it's a very difficult environment that we are all in to control and monitor our children. The other day there was a very big person who was so good. That is my question. How are you linking up of your awareness of the role of forces, MCM, etc., those kinds of stuff to monitor? And I don't know how really. I think all of us would love to have a print out of your inspection team to see how you do these things and what is the outcome of some of those inspections. There was a very disturbing last week on my phone, I don't know how they shared it, of a woman and a man in the office. And you know what I'm trying to say. And it was very disturbing because your children have said, you don't even know what buttons to. If I want to do something, I must teach the grandchildren, I want this and I want this and this. Not like you just doing this. So they are more advanced than ours. So they are going into a sleeping time, don't tell me this. When I woke up,
during the night I will go into the room to see my grandchildren. So I'm just so you know, yes, even the parents are sleeping, but grandma is at least waking up and doing sick. But the grand, well, the parents are sleeping. So it is difficult, but we must see how best in coming up with policies and see how we can. Because I agree with the Honourable Minister, all these things are happening. We see it on TV, they see it on social media, they see it. Thank you, over to you.
Thank you. We will share the questions. I'll just answer just a few that are related to the government. I'll start with the action for how long. We are in the action position. We are in the process of advertising the post. We had a very unfortunate to be upfront situation with our senior manager at the organization. So luckily we are stable because there was a lot of investment in the next level. So we have at least been able to continue to function. So the acting will soon stop, but as senior positions are, the process takes longer because we have to be very careful when you recruit, how you recruit, and so on. So we are hoping that when we come again, we will no longer be acting. But I cannot put the time frame. This is our hope that, let's just say, when next year comes, we will have solved the solution. I also wanted to just share the concern that we, as the Freedom and Publication, we also share the concern that we want children to be children in South Africa. Mm. And unfortunately, we are working in an environment that is that is driven by technology. And so whether we like it or not, grandmother or no grandmother, technology is there to stay. It's for us to just make sure that we do a lot of outreach and assist parents and educators, everyone to be involved, including the children themselves, on how to use these smartphones that parents give to children as toys. Because part of the problem is where sometimes parents are not there, an old cell phone is given to a child. The consumption guidelines, I call it Adam and Eve syndrome, where you say, Honorable Sifa was saying, why do you put those things? Because then if you put that guideline, that's exactly when they're going to watch it. The guideline is to inform, because we don't censor anymore. And I just wanted to also say that that is also linked to the watershed period. Television, I repeat, television is not under us. Television is under the Broadcasting Act and the Broadcasting Authority. So, but the Department of Communication is trying to bring us all together so that we use the same standards, center, all of us.
The center must be one.
The center, yes, yes. So at least the information, we are beginning to share the information to make sure that we are able. In fact, we have a course at FPB that we have started with UNISA, where all classifiers now will get a qualification so that, and they use the guidelines that we have developed. And so we do work with the cell phone companies as well on material that is prohibited material. Only prohibited material that can be taken down. Anything else cannot be taken down there because the cultural values versus constitutional values sometimes clash. And what takes precedence? Constitutional values, which is the freedom of information, freedom of choice, and we come in to say we want to protect the child. And so we then ask the question, parent, where are you to protect your child? Teacher, where are you? So what can the state do better to protect the child? Thank you. I'll ask for the colleagues to vote.
The box, not worried about the needs of what. How did it come into the box? Actually, what happened? Those are some of the things that worry us. As I'm saying, the grandchildren are far ahead of it. I always do them mine. I keep them here. I don't even. The next thing you find her doing whatever she wants to do with your boy, I tell you, I'm paying a lot of money for this one, and I don't use it for all these things. Those things really would like to see them not being done, as to say, let's make sure that all the entities that are about come together and work together and say, people, let's do this one out and let's do this one out. On the issue of languages, really, in the rural areas, we do go to rural areas. Most of the time told to go to rural areas, then they know I can use those languages, but not to Port Elizabeth, because I will end up just looking at them. They know what to say. They go to Port Elizabeth because they are able to speak it. And there's a lady who can talk Afrikaans. That's why she comes to, we said she must go to Northern Cape, and she comes to Western Cape, which is where she can use Afrikaans. But with the other things, again, we try by all means. I remember in one area in Northwest, they said, they don't go for a that's one. Because the other people already use English. Mm-hmm. The lady from one entity said, she cannot speak any other language except French. Kosa and English. Mm-hmm. And then when I came to speak, they said, I should even interpret what you are saying. I said, it's going to be difficult for me. I'll say what I want you people to know. And then let me say that we have partnered with the minister. In the last outreach that I attended, the chief there in that village was asking for the website and everything because he said he wanted to send children around the village to go to that to Misa to study for what he wanted to study. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. I think you asked a very philosophical question, which I linked to our mandate. Our mandate is such a pie in the sky, and it talks a lot to impact. The classification role is just an output, but there's a bigger impact that talks to the role of the family, that talks to how media impacts on the society that we wish to build, and that talks to the aspirations we have for our children. So I always say FPB is the interface or the interlink between technology, media consumption, and societal values and norms. And it's a very difficult question to answer, and there's different elements and there's different aspects that we work on to deal with that. Firstly, and I think I appreciate the concerns about broadcasting content, because it's linked to that single classification system I spoke to earlier. We need to have a central way of having a classification guidelines reflective of societal values and norms. Now, as the FPB, we can stand on top of Table Mountain and say, we are the only institution in the country that has classification guidelines that are consulted with South Africans. Now, what we want with broadcasters is to come on board and join us when we have the review of our guidelines and adopt those guidelines as their own. Because
because if you see material that is made specifically for television, so most of the material that you see on your 161, for instance, is not material that would have come through FPP. It is made for that channel. So they do their own rating, and then they put it up there. We don't know what informs their rating. But if we were to apply our classification guidelines, it's highly likely that the rating would be different. So we need to get to a point where we can have synergy across all platforms, because it confuses consumers. We always get complaints as the Film and Publication Board where people come to us and say, I was watching a movie on television and it was rated 13 and the violent content was too much. And we have to say, unfortunately, we have no jurisdiction over that. We have not seen it. We don't know. And what we have found as the Film and Publication Board analyzing content that has come through our platforms is that we may not be concerned about the violent content on our television, but the reality is predominantly most of the content that comes through just us as the Film and Publication Board, 60% of the material has mild to extreme violent content, starting from the ages of 13 upwards. And it's getting lower and lower. So in some of the material, for instance, you do get violence at the 7 to 9 PG age band. So if you think of those children who are being exposed to that violent content, do you not think it has any impact to the relationships or the things that they are doing in school these days and taking on their videos of themselves doing those things? So we may not realize the impact that media consumption has on children and the society that we have to build. And I think the chairperson highlighted that our role is to inform. Parents have a bigger role to make sure that they prevent their children from having those things. So it talks to how have we evolved as a society in terms of how we groom our families and the role we play with our children. And I don't think any institution or any regulator can play a role there, but families have to play that role. I think the chairperson answered the issue of cultural values and constitutional values. I think it's a parliamentary discussion, not ours. We have to abide by the constitution, so that usually supersedes. How do we quantify effectiveness of our outcomes? I try to demonstrate that we do surveys in all the workshops that we have, but we also do the conversion surveys, which are basically assessing whether after the FPP has been interacting with consumers, have you changed in how you consume media? Because what we want to see is change in behavior more than anything else. So that's what we do in our conversions surveys. The films in South Africa, they have a lot of violence. I've already just confirmed statistically in terms of the content that we come through our channels. The chairperson has answered how do we make consumers more, how do we aware without it seemingly encouraging, and I think that's been answered. Do we have cases citing how many cases have been placed on the road? Yes, we do. On a quarterly basis, we do report if we have had any cases, and we provide a report on that. Do we reach rural areas? Yes, we do. We also have a diverse team in our staff at the FPB, so we are able to engage in many of the different languages, and we deploy accordingly. Our promotional material as well is translated in two additional languages, so we can't have all nine right now because of resource constraints, but we do try and reach out to as many people as possible. And relationships with social media platforms. We do have relationships with social media platforms. And also we license some of the online distributors that are in the market. So for instance, your Vodacoms, who have stores, online stores that trade in content, they are licensed with FPB. We do inspections on those stores to make sure that they are complying with the provisions of our Act. Social media is completely different, the regulatory relationship we have with them. They are not required to be licensed by FPB, but we have a relationship in that. If content is, we find content that is not suitable, we we have a direct line to your big Facebook, your Google, and they take them down. YouTube, we have a relationship with them where they, we also have a takedown, they take down material that is deemed to be unsuitable. The piracy, there was a question on piracy, how do we deal with piracy? We work a lot with SAPS, we work a lot with DTI as well, because they have a bigger role to play in piracy and pirated content. So most of the time when we do the raids and we have cases, we work together and we assist them to identify pirated goods. And I think...
Content information?
The link, I think the chairperson tried to highlight that SABC has its own channels of content distribution. As FPB, we are not a content distributor, we are a content regulator. We have a role in the value chain to make sure that we classify content that is being distributed in the South African market. And the mandate of the FPB does not extend to broadcasters. So in the value chain that we regulate, we are only limited to your DVD stores, your cinema stores, and also your online stores. So broadcast material does not come through us at all. It's only if, for instance, there's been a movie that has gone through your cinemas and it goes to broadcasting that you will then find that they use our rating. But you will agree with me that most material that is broadcast on television is not your blockbuster movies. It's material that is made for television. So it goes from the producer to the TV house. So that is the discrepancy that we are currently having right now. So what you are watching on 161, and I don't want to mention name because I think I know the production you're talking about.
Yeah.
What you are watching on 161 has never come to FTV.
Mm.
Thank you, Chair. I want to, firstly, I want to make a general statement, you know, that I've observed, and it came from a discussion with some other people. The statement that you can have sex, but you can't look, because
mm-hmm.
our legislation seems to be totally disconnected. You can have preventative medication at the early age of, I think, 12, 14, somewhere around there. You can have legal sex at the age of 60, but you can't check any sexual content at the age of 80. You know, that disconnect. And it's something that we should think of in total, and how you interlink that so that it becomes consistent. The other thing that I want to mention is specifically children or children's programs and how destructive elements are built within that and disguised as cartoons. Things like revenge, things, even sexual undertones, violent actions, you know, all those type of things that's integrated. And I think that's a specific section of publication that should be strictly regulated, because that is specifically focused on children. And that's, I think that's something also that should be looked at.
So let me just intervene here, a small point. Are you giving me a question?
Yeah, it's a small point.
Look, like, the leadership here says the center must be one, like I've just interrupted them earlier. You know, entities come to Parliament and talk to and engage the select and portfolio committee, and always have these wholesome ideas that we front load. But we never talk about the time prescription. To say by this time around, 2 years or 12 months, this must have happened. You know, sometimes that's why I believe in a dictatorship, because we are too liberal and too open. Nobody want to take the responsibility and be decisive and impose issues.
No, really. We are too loose in South Africa. Now, I want to say, chair of the board, the deputy chair, COO, CFO, yes, we are empty. But somebody must lead the process. If you say broadcasting entities or elements must converge, somebody must lead that process. South Africa is being destroyed day by day. That's the point that I want to raise.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable,
you want to cross dictatorship?
No, Chairperson, I didn't put up my hand, but just to inform you, I'm checking out whether it is really restricted things here on my laptop.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Thanks, you know, as much as I agree with the Honorable Bakis that we really, really miss, but I'm afraid if one day we can be led by Bakis, then Najikeleza us. Chair, on a serious note, that was just so much I can imagine. Chair, you know, this question that I'm going to ask is out of the ignorance, because, you know, I'm new in the comments. I would like to know, I would like to know, Chair, who regulates and monitors broadcasting? And, you know, I'm asking this question because we're coming up strong with the issue of us having one sender, which is golden. Because if that question is being answered, it would help us to plan as people that have a responsibility of promulgating legislation. So it will help us to look at the legislation and begin to say this is what we are proposing as this committee based on the debate that we're having now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is mainly on on your response that about language and provinces that you mentioned that like the part of Northern Cape from African speaking person would go to Northern Cape and I'm a bit confused because there's too much further by something. Okay, and on page 10 I see there are just on the identifying of provinces, because I see you adopted three schools from three provinces, here being Gauteng, Northwest, and KZN, and myself, a delegate from Northern Cape, and humbly want to ask when is Northern Cape being considered as one of the provinces that you have adopted. I'm pleading on behalf of Northern Cape.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Maybe looking to finish on the expenditure for 2016-2017. So indeed, you are operating the budgets are constrained. But what is important is the prudence. How best are you indeed using a little that 92% spent. If you just mention one category, which is branding and marketing. I'm interested in other categories. Can you maybe indicate that this is 90% and then the budget holistic, and then
you're setting your reply because of financial constraints. You cannot publish your material in all the languages. Now, in which language do you speak? You can't be published.
Thank you. Over to the department.
The broadcasters have a self-regulatory and a state regulatory system. Mm-hmm. In terms of the state, they are regulated by ICASA, which mm-hmm. also falls under the communications portfolio. Mm-hmm. But our constitution was very clear in terms of how far the role of ICASA plays in broadcast regulation. So they don't go into detail in terms of regulating the content. Mm-hmm. So they just have high-level quotas in terms of the type of content that they're supposed to have. The self-regulatory system is the one that has not even detailed, because it just says that you must protect children, they have rules on how what you must do. But they don't have the detail that we follow as the Film Notification Board of classification guidelines and people who sit and review the movie and say that in terms of the classification guidelines, this material would be suitable for children of this age as opposed to that age. So we are not certain they would be best placed to answer how they do their own rating, but that rating part is largely self-regulatory under the BCCSA,
Broadcasting
Commission of South Africa. Yes. The issue of consistency in legislation, Honourable Member, I think that's a conversation that you should be having in these two houses. I think it's an important question and issue that you should be discussing in Parliament. But just to say, as the FPB, what informs the age levels and age ratings is expert advice from child development psychologists who actually tell us children of this age are not at this stage and they are not suitable, they will not be able to understand certain complex themes. So that's what we use as the Film and Publication Board to inform the age categories that we have. The issue of children content becoming increasingly destructive, I wouldn't agree with you more. And I think in the current review of our classification guidelines, those are the exact conversations that we want to have. Because in the guidelines review, once we have the guidelines that say that in terms of children's content, this is how you are supposed to approach it, it would be easier for us to allocate the appropriate age ratings. Because now those movies, those cartoons that are coming into the market we use the same guidelines, and it's very difficult to pass a constitutional muster if we do not have specific rules in our guidelines that say that this is how we are supposed to approach children's content. Because we've been taken on appeal many times by distributors who are disputing some of the age ratings, because most of the time distributors believe that cartoons should be PG rated, for instance, but the themes that are in those things are very complex for a small child. I wouldn't go with my 5-year-old, for instance, as a parent. I'd rather wait for them to be 8 or 9 for them to watch those things. The Northern Cape, we will take that. We have been to the Northern Cape. The focus groups, the way we are doing it now, is a research project for 3 years. So it would be a bit difficult for us to expand, but certainly if you have invite us, we will come, and we have been to the Northern Cape, just to allay your... just to allay your yes. Which languages? It's English and it's Zulu for now. We want to expand. We certainly want to expand. So certainly, and if you have translation and expertise, you can do a pro bono thing for us.
Okay, thanks. Okay, in terms of other categories on how we spend the available resources, yes, indeed, we did mention that we are working with a very constrained budget, in a sense that, you know, what is available, it's limited in terms of what we need to deliver. If you can see on SO2 where we highlighted that we spend about 92%. It's just that in the government it's a very difficult situation, because if you underspend, it's a problem. If you overspend, it's a problem. So you always have to ensure that you balance, you know, your expenditure, you know, because what you have is what you can spend to avoid unauthorized expenditure. So on SO1, which is the strategy that, which is the objective that talks about industry compliance, we spend about 97%. And then on SO2, we spend 92%. And then on SO3, which is about effective and efficient management of the operations, we spend 101%. So we exceeded by 1% there. And then on SO4, which is the innovation regulation of the content that we distribute, this is about ICT, we spent 95%. And on SO5, which is your stakeholder partnership, we spent 94%. So overall, in our total budget of 97.7 million, we spent 96.7 million, which is about 99%, which is very good in terms of expenditure management. So we did spend whatever that has been allocated to us.
Thank you very much. Do you want to follow?
Just a proposal.
Because thank you very much, Honorable Chair. A proposal that indeed it is very, very important in the communication and public enterprise. Perhaps to have a colloquium where this converging ideas from stakeholders can be brought under one and deal with other issues. For the whole day, I think that's my proposal. And we should know all these entities and what the role that they're playing.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Powerful. Thank you very much to the organization and department for. Really, I think we know you are working with a very challenging environment. And while I was talking, you know, you think in the government, in our domain, what is important is the education. And we are in that kind of things, but then you realize that everything is important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But thank you very much for your time. Thank you for the invitation. It's always good to see you.
see that on the board is mature people who deal the same sentiment as our board. And they will make sure that there's a